seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share.
Bow for our opening prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that whatever comes our way makes no difference. No difference in your love for us. Yet sometimes the events of the week are spinning so fast that we lose our focus to be within your will, and we lose our way. But then we recognize your Holy Spirit gently leading us to think before we speak, before we act. And we look in our Bibles and see words that give us wisdom and remind us to exercise self-control and to show kindness and to love others. We know that your Holy Spirit is within us, always protecting us from harm, directing us away from sin. We trust in you. We put our confidence in you, and we obey your commands. We offer you a pure heart as a sacrifice of prayer and thanksgiving. Your lessons are true. Your wisdom makes us strong. O Lord, thank you for leading us here to worship on your Sabbath day. We thank you for teaching us how to pray. Just with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Regardless of a person's location on this planet, regardless of a person's customs and traditions, it is true that everyone has an innate sense of a supreme creator. It's a natural comprehension. Almost everyone, wherever they are on this planet, looks up to the sky and sees some form of a creator as naturally as a newly hatched bird opens its mouth looking for food from its mother. I know there are those who disagree. There is a very small group of people who claim to believe only in themselves. They reject God and view themselves simply as an evolved creature. I'm confident, however, that there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. You put those people in the right situation and they will look to God. By far, the majority of us believe in a creator. And our creator, our God, revealed himself to us in a direct manner when he sent his son to this world as his spokesman. Jesus, the Messiah, came to our world to enlarge our knowledge of truth and provide grace and mercy. Jesus gave himself to humankind and he wants us to give ourselves to him. Jesus gave himself. He gave his love to us, and he wants our love in return. And there are some things in Scripture that tell us there are some outwardly visible actions we can either take or avoid in our lives that God requires of us. Our Creator has given us some items in the Scripture. We should not be surprised that God's Word describes explicitly some of the requirements that God commands. Those commands are straightforward. We call them the Ten Commandments, absolute givens for humankind. And one of those commandments deals with time. Time, the time in our existence is all about hours and days and the years of our life that we use in preparation for eternity. That's right, we're in a time of training. And God revealed in the beginning of history that a certain portion of man's time was to be considered sacred. That portion of time should not simply be used for personal pleasure or business. God set this time apart for man's good as a way for man to stay spiritually in tune with him. God said that during this special time, man should not do his work or think his own thoughts. Rather, he should use this special time to draw near to his Maker for strength and for fellowship. God sanctified a day and blessed it and commanded that when that time period comes around, as it does every seventh day of the week, it should remind us of all the things that were created for our good. Great blessings would be granted if we faithfully follow God's commandments. By the command of God, the Sabbath day is to be given back to him in a special remembrance and service. The Sabbath day is a test of the character and obedience of God's people, and remembering to keep the Sabbath day holy is one of the things that separates us from other people in this world. I believe that a significant error has been made by many who are overly earnest in their advocacy of the Sabbath as a day away from activity. You weren't expecting that. And I'm not talking about the vast majority of Christians who claim Sunday as their Sabbath. Sunday-keeping Christians have no valid reason from Scripture to substitute Sunday for the Sabbath. I'm talking about a question of obedience and love for God. Sadly, God's Sabbath day has been replaced in favor of a substitute day chosen for social and political expediency. And in our Western culture, even that substitution has become a meaningless day for shopping and sports. I am sad that God's command to remember the Sabbath is ignored by most believers. But just imagine how God feels about it. But let's not go there today. Just had to get that part out of my system. Instead, let's consider something from the teachings of Jesus that many Sabbath keepers are confused about. Our Father in heaven never intended to make physical rest the most prominent aspect of the institution of the Sabbath. Physical rest is important, but it's not the most important aspect of the Sabbath. When the Sabbath was created, mankind did not live like we live today. Think about it. Men were nomadic. There were no settled hours of labor. No one labored continuously. They labored intermittently. It wasn't until the industrial age that people began to labor continuously. It wasn't until the industrial age that physical rest became a routine necessity. So let's do a quick compilation. We average 8 to 10 hours for a workday, 5 or 6 days a week, with a dozen or so legal holidays identified as rest, days for rest. It's easy to figure out how much time we spend working. A 5-day, 8-hour work schedule, 50 weeks per year, equals 2,000 hours of work per year. So, is that a lot of work? Maybe. But do you know anyone who has died from working too much? It's really rare. Hard work rarely causes death. You are more likely to worry yourself to death, or have a bad diet, or have high stress. These are things that are unhealthy and can lead to premature death. But work by itself rarely causes death. I've known people who worked every day for a year, and you wouldn't know any difference in their health from people who rested more often. A lot of business people do that. My brother-in-law did that when I lived in the Philippines. Common sense tells me that the concept of work has changed as culture has changed. What about the concept of rest? Okay, for a baseball fan, attending a baseball game on Saturday, it's restful if you're a fan. But that doesn't make a baseball fan a Sabbath keeper. Going to a beach resort on Saturday won't make you a Sabbath keeper either. Physical rest will never be sufficient proof of you being a Sabbath keeper. Sabbath keeping is deeper than physical rest. A civic holiday is a rest day, but a civic holiday will never bear any resemblance to the Sabbath. Do you realize that Jesus taught there were activities, physical activities, that are right to do on the Sabbath, activities that require physical labor? What? What are you saying, Pastor Michael? I'm saying that the Sabbath is essentially spiritual. It is God's Sabbath, created for us as an antidote for that which causes the majority of our sins. God knew how deeply we would get engrossed in the affairs of the world around us. God knew what would happen to our minds without a break from all the things around us, all the things we work for. God knew that our hearts and our minds would become hardened. The Sabbath comes as a sweet relief. The Sabbath comes as a break from inherently selfish thinking and planning. All the inherently selfish thinking and planning that we do during the week, because it's all about us or our jobs. The Sabbath turns us and our thoughts Godward. The Sabbath helps us, actually should make us think of the great things God created as part of this world, especially things about life and death. The Sabbath brings us into communion with the Father, into a closer relationship with the needs of others. The Sabbath is meant to bring us an inward peace and an inward rest. Our outward activities say something about us. On the Sabbath day, it is good to gather in places of worship and join in hymns of praise and adoration for the hope of our salvation in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Anything that makes you think of God a little more, that makes you love God a little more, anything that makes you do a little more to help men find the salvation God offers is right and lawful on the Sabbath day. For me, it's obvious that New Testament Christians should be keeping the Sabbath. And that's us. Jesus kept the Sabbath. So did all the other Christians in apostolic times, whether they were Jewish or Gentile Christians. But Jesus and the apostles did not give us specifics on how to keep the Sabbath. Jesus threw out all the rules that were, that almost all the rules that existed. As God's incarnate Son, Jesus is our perfect model for living in this world. And when he walked on this earth, he kept God's law. He remained sinless. And he went above and beyond the existing laws with new standards of love, grace, and forgiveness. He gave us the deeper meaning of the Ten Commandments in his Sermon on the Mount. And we know with assurance that Jesus kept the Sabbath perfectly. And he broke the law. Jesus broke the traditions and the regulations of the Pharisaical laws. He broke those Jewish laws perfectly. It's not uncommon for Sabbath keepers to want to know how to keep the Sabbath. It's logical then to look at how Jesus kept the Sabbath. But Scripture doesn't teach us much about how Jesus kept the Sabbath. But there is Scripture that tells us what Jesus did not do on the Sabbath. There is direct and helpful teaching from Jesus in the New Testament regarding the Sabbath. It's found in the Gospels. So let's read a couple of those passages that tell us what Jesus did not do on the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath day, it's the Sabbath, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Jesus did not follow the Pharisaical rules, the religious rules, making it a sin to harvest on the Sabbath. Jesus did not follow the rules. He harvested on the Sabbath. Labor, because it was good. It's a good thing to eat. Continuing in the very next chapter, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save the life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand. I got some work to do." No, I just ad-libbed that. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. And once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus did not follow the laws of the Pharisees. Jesus did not follow their law that forbade him from healing on the Sabbath. Jesus challenged the legalistic Sabbath observance of the Pharisees. He taught that man was not made so that he could serve the Sabbath. He taught that the Sabbath was made to bless mankind. Even more important, Jesus declared himself Lord of the Sabbath. He proclaimed that he was the one who had the right to interpret the law of God. Jesus broke the legalistic law of the religious leaders. He broke the law. Jesus did not keep those laws. He did not even redefine them. He did not clarify them. He confronted them and he denounced them. He broke those laws. He shattered them. And yet he remained sinless. How do we reconcile this? Jesus broke the law. When Jesus broke those Sabbath laws, he broke laws that were in opposition to what God wants. Those laws were not God's laws. They were arrogant, man-made activities that glorified the law keeper. Jesus did not break God's laws. He fulfilled God's laws. Jesus was perfect. He kept the Sabbath perfectly. The religious, legalistic Sabbath-keeping laws of the religious leaders, those laws were not from God. So what does this mean for us? I have some guidelines that can help. Now, these aren't my guidelines. They came from Pastor David Stahl. If you know Dave, he is pastoring a church now in North Carolina. I think I got these guidelines from a video he posted back when he was the pastor at the Hopkinton Church in Rhode Island. Number one, avoid legalism. Don't make the mistake of creating and enforcing ungodly rules. Instead, set personal Sabbath-keeping rules that help you draw close to God. Remember, Scripture doesn't tell us explicitly how to keep the Sabbath. So you need to set some personal Sabbath-keeping rules. I have quite a few. I don't do business on the Sabbath, period. Unless I'm pulling the ox out of the ditch, if I need medicine or somebody's hurting. And be careful about judging others for their Sabbath rules. This is an important one. Let's not be judgmental. Number two, remember the importance of keeping the Sabbath. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath has significance. Maybe we should say extreme significance. I don't know. A lot of significance. Jesus, his disciples, all the early apostles, and the earliest Christians kept the Sabbath. Nothing in the Bible says the Sabbath commandment has ended. The Sabbath remains a hopeful reminder that points toward our eternal rest with Jesus. Number three, do the things that Jesus did on the Sabbath. Keep it as he kept it. Take time to gather in God's house with God's people. Something Jesus did. Teach, discuss, and reflect on God and his word. Rest, pray, worship alone and with others. Minister to others through healing, comforting, and acts of service. The Sabbath is a day to do good, to show mercy. The Sabbath is a day of benevolent service. I used to love it when we had this train going, because we would go to the nursing homes all around Bradenton, and we just love playing in those nursing homes on the Sabbath. So we got to sing about Jesus. And when we were always so wonderfully accepted, even though we were singing about Jesus, using Jesus as our example, we, like Jesus, should value the Sabbath as a day to honor God by showing compassion and concern for others, both for their spiritual and their physical well-being. Of course, we don't limit this to the Sabbath, but Sabbath is a special time where these are the things that Jesus did that we can pick out of Scripture. We should be doing them too. The seventh-day Sabbath that Jesus kept was not a day of being enslaved by rules. It was not a competition in righteous living. It was intentional, and it was an important time of closeness with his Father. It was a time for fellowship and for ministry. It was also a time to do good through compassion and mercy. Pick up on that do good activity. To do good for someone on the Sabbath means you have to do something. Jesus was active on the Sabbath, and in his activity, he was obedient to the intent of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is essentially spiritual. The Sabbath is also a test of obedience for us, because the Sabbath is a specific appointment. The command was for a specific time, and God declared that time to be holy. That time is set aside for God's people to honor until the rest which remains for God's people is entered. When Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom here on planet Earth, there will not be a need for a Sabbath day, because in his presence we will have eternal rest. We can barely imagine. We can't even imagine what that will be like. God is not the author of confusion. He created the seventh-day Sabbath as part of his creation work. He has not changed. He is the same creator today as when he created this world. He created the Sabbath, and he determined which day we should set aside for its observance. When we keep the Sabbath, it is a spiritual blessing for us, and it shows God that we love him because we are willing to keep His commandments. Let us remember to keep the Sabbath day that Jesus kept and strive to keep it the same way that He kept it. Amen. Hallelujah.